The following audio is from Central Christian Church, located in Portales, New Mexico. To connect with Central, go to centralwired.org.
How great thou art. Unless you come, will you meet? Psalm 143, starting in verse 5, says, I remember the days of long ago. I meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have done. I spread out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. And it ends with the word Selah. Now, there's some confusion, actually some differing opinions on what Selah actually means when you read it in the Psalms. Some people think it's a musical term. So if you've been in music theory, if you've been in Mr. Flores's band class or in choirs before, you probably learned about a fermata, right? And so it looks like a bird's eye. It's got this here and then it's got a dot there. And that means you're going to hold it out for as long as a conductor decides that's going to be, or as long as you want to if you're playing individually. So it could be something for music. It could also be something for something that's lyrically, right? Maybe it's like an intermission, like a break. Or maybe it's pausing and stopping to reflect on what God has done, what you've just finished singing before you start the next portion. And so Selah is kind of an idea of resting and remembering. I've been kind of leading a little bit in first service, and we've been doing things from the hymnal and growing up Baptist, our Baptist hymnal is a little bit different from the ones that I've seen. And so my mom had picked a song. She really liked the lyrics. And, of course, you don't do anything. If your mom tells you to do something, you better dang well do it, right? And so we were going to do this song. And at first I didn't have any notes. And I can really figure this out. I mean, if you give me this right here and all I have are the notes, I can do it. I wasn't really good at sight singing when I first started teaching choir. It was something that kind of came along later. The idea in teaching, as long as you stay two lessons ahead of your students, you're probably going to be fine, right? And so here I was learning the hand signs for solfege along with my students, like do, re, mi, fa, so, la, ti, do. It's been a while since I've done that. And so you associate the hand signs with the different notes in the scale, and then you're able to sight sing. And so I thought, that's fine. I've got this song. I'm pretty good at sight singing after all these years. In fact, if I'm sight singing a new song and I make at least two mistakes, I think I've failed. I need to get it perfect, right? And so we start singing the Haven of Rest, and I'm thinking, I've never heard this song. And about four measures in, it hits me, and I have heard this song. I've heard my dad sing it, and my dad had a beautiful tenor voice. I mean, it would rattle that small church that we were in, and it was just amazing. And as I kept singing, I stopped looking at all the notes. And I started just resting in what I remembered. See, there are probably days when you know all the notes, right? There are probably days when you've got everything under control. There's probably days where you think you can handle it, and you do. But I think the more and more I get older, that Jesus wants something much deeper from me. He doesn't want me to try to do it on my own. He doesn't want me to sightsee my way through life. He doesn't want me to try to figure it all out, right? He wants me to rest in him. He wants me to remember his promises of yes and amen. He wants me to sit in the Selah, to sit and consider all the works of his hands. Communion gives us an opportunity to do that. When we come before our Lord and Savior, when we take the bread and the cup, we're remembering his sacrifice. And his sacrifice grants eternal life, and that's amazing. Don't get me wrong. But when you accept Jesus, your eternity starts now, right? And so you've got a job to do then for the rest of your days. And you get to decide how you do that. Are you going to do it on your own, using the hand signs, using what you know? Or are you going to rely on your Heavenly Father? Because that's what he's called you to. That's how dry bones come to life. That's how that new breath comes into your lungs and gives you strength and power that you've never known to reach those around you. I encourage you to sit in the Selah. Sit in that space where God is calling you to just rest in his presence. the haven of rest. Will you pray with me? Father, we're thankful for this opportunity of communion, Lord. We're thankful that, Lord, that you just put things in our hearts. Holy Spirit, that you are speaking to us even now. Lord, if we are listening, we will hear your voice. And Father, in those times when we're a little overcome, may we rest in your presence. Lord, in those times when we think we've got it all under control, that we're pretty sure we're not going to make any mistakes, Lord, will you gently remind us that you are always in control, Lord, and that our rest comes from you. Our strength comes from you. Our peace comes from you. We thank you for your sacrifice, for your victory over the grave that gives us victory, Lord, as we walk this earth. We make a decision today. I have decided to follow Jesus. And when we decide, we've got work to do in you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
To follow Jesus. we've been doing this song, Rattle, and it has this line in there, just ask the man who was thrown on the bones of Elisha. Did a lot of you go, what? So I started to do a little research on that. 2 Kings 13, you don't have to go there, it's only two verses. There's a great little story in there of, well, first of all, Elisha was kind of a big deal, and said, and Elisha died and he was buried. Okay, not a lot of fanfare there. And then the very next line is, in the spring they were always worried about raiders and bandits from Moab that came in to try to steal things. One particular day, apparently they were having a funeral, they had a body, they were going, here come some of these raiders, they didn't know what to do. They threw this body into a grave, it landed on bones that were Elisha's bones, and the guy came to life and he walked out. And that's literally all that's there. There's no more information. I'm going, seriously, you're going to leave us with that kind of a cliffhanger? Which sent me down a couple of rabbit holes. What other resurrection stories are there in Scripture? Now, let's take one off the table right at the front. If you can't get the big one, we're going to call that a gimme for everybody, okay? But there are a lot of others. We're going to skip over Jesus, save that one for Easter. But in the Old Testament, you got Elijah. Now, you got to stick with me. Elijah and the widow at Zarephath. This is in 1 Kings 17. He comes up to this lady's house. She's a widow. She has a son. And he says, hey, I'm hungry. Will you feed me? And she says, well, I was just going to make this meal for me and my kid, and we're going to go die. This is all we have left. We don't have any money. And he goes, oh, don't worry about it. I'll get you lots of oil. And he says, go get all the buckets. And he prayed over the oil, and it blessed. And the lady was able to live. And he went ahead and stayed there. But the son got sick, and then he died. And Elijah went in, and he laid down on the boy, face down, and prayed over him, and he'd get up, and then he'd go do it. Three times he laid down on this boy, and he came to life. Well, later on, Elisha must have read those cliff notes, because he did something similar in 2 Kings 4 with the Shunammite woman. He was helping her. Her son died, and he laid down on her son and prayed over her. But there's an interesting detail in that one. The boy sneezed seven times and came to life. Again, I don't write them. I'm just reading them. There's some interesting stuff. Even in the New Testament, there are quite a few as well. Not all of them. We're not going to go through all of them, but some of them that you might recognize. There's the widow at Nain in Luke chapter 7. That's the first resurrection that Jesus performs. It's not her, it's her son. Probably you'd recognize Lazarus in John chapter 11, the Lazarus heart. Do you realize Jesus yelled at him? He's like, hey, get out of that grave. And that was the interchange between him and his friend. Another story that comes to mind is in Acts chapter 20, when Paul is with is preaching, and a guy named Eutychus, anybody remember Eutychus? Eutychus fell asleep in church. So it is biblical for you to fall asleep in church. Just, I'm giving you full rein. But if you follow that story out, that guy died. I'm just saying. You probably wouldn't want to chance that. He's in a third story window. He falls asleep listening to Paul preach. He falls out and he dies. Paul runs out there, brings him back to life. Guess what they do? They go back in and have more church. You'd think he'd get a pass on it, don't you think? You know, like, you died. Right, you can go home and have peanut butter and jelly. All right, we're going to let you go. Nope, they went back inside and they preached some more. One of the most interesting ones, though, comes in Matthew chapter 27. When Jesus died, when Jesus was on the cross, if you remember all of this stuff, we usually talk about it, but there's one little line in there we don't talk about very much. In Matthew chapter 27, when Jesus said, it is finished, and he died, there was a great earthquake, and do you remember what happened? Many saints walked out of their tombs. Okay, now you got to tell me, you can't tell me that dinner that night is weird when Aunt Sally walks back in that we buried a year ago, and all of a sudden she's sitting here, hey, how y'all doing? Where have you been? We don't get any more details than those. I want some rest of the story to those. I want to go find these guys when we get there. I'm like, you got to tell me what happened after that. I need to know this stuff. And you might be sitting there saying, well, then, Don, why doesn't that happen now? Why don't we see that happening in our life? We sing these songs, that resurrection power runs in my veins too. You turn graves into gardens, bones into armies. How great thou art, God, how great thou art. Another song we sing sometimes, the same power that rolled the stone away, that same power alive in us today. Maybe we're a lot like Mary and Martha in that verse that Wes read earlier. That you remember when they came, when Jesus came and Lazarus was in the grave, and in the King James, he stinketh. And Jesus asked Mary and Martha, do you believe he'll rise again? And they said, oh yeah, at the end times. Maybe that's where we're at. Maybe we're sitting here saying, God, you do things to somebody else at some other time, but not me. Do we believe that God has the power to bring life to us? Do we really believe this? Because sometimes I think we dismiss that. We're in this series called Rattle, Breathing Life into Dead Bones. And I got to warn you, we're going to go to a weird place. I argued with God. We've been in Ezekiel 36 and 37 in the Valley of Dry Bones, and I wanted to go back there, and God said, no, you're going to go somewhere else. And I argued with him, and I lost, so we're somewhere else. We're in John chapter 21 today, but it's an odd place, and I need you to hear with me. We're going to meet a guy named Peter that we're pretty familiar with, and Peter is staring at death, but not his physical death and not a dead body. The death of what he understood. The death of a dream, the death of everything making sense. And I want to propose this to you, that sometimes Christ brings resurrection before death. Now hear me out on this. Can Christ bring life into your bones that are alive, but you're not feeling life? Join me in John chapter 21. I want you to keep your Bible open because we're going to be in this passage. We're not going to read all of it. If you're joining us online, thanks for joining us, Central Christian Church here in Portales, New Mexico. We're in Matthew 21. I'm going to start in verse 15, reading from the Christian Standard Bible. In verse 15, when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said to him, you know that I love you. Feed my lambs, he told him. A second time he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, he said to him, you know that I love you. Shepherd my sheep, he told him. He asked him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved that he asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Feed my sheep, Jesus said. Truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you would tie your belt and walk wherever you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will tie you and carry you where you don't want to go. Let's take the whole chapter. And first, let's go back to the beginning of it. Look down there in chapter 21 at the beginning. It's a fishing story. Go back and you'll see in verse 3 that Peter says, hey, man, I'm going fishing. Here's the backstory to what's going on. We've already had the resurrection. Jesus has already come to life. He's appeared to a few people. But Peter is a little freaked out. We remember Peter's last interaction. Peter was denying Jesus. And he didn't know what to do. And he said, I think Peter said, I'm going back to where it all made sense. I'm going to go back to the beginning when it all started. That's where Jesus called Peter, was when he was fishing. He said, I'll make you a fisher of men. So he tries to go back to the beginning where, before it all went wrong. Anybody ever wanted to do that? Can we just go back before we had the fight? Can we just go back before we lost this? But can we just go back before all of that? Maybe you're staring at a business that closed. Maybe you're holding the divorce papers. Maybe you're, like many of us, battle every day a fear of being a bad parent. Anybody? Man, am I messing these kids up worse than they've ever been? Maybe you're dealing with anxiety. And you come to church and everybody says, a peace that surpasses all understanding, and you don't get it. And you're still struggling with it, and you're still staying up at night, and you're trying to find a place where it all makes sense. I think Peter is struggling. So he goes back to what he knows. Can I tell you, I love God's Word because it is real. I think it's real because we all have skeletons in the closet, okay? We all have things going on. I love that Scripture presents Peter as a friend of Jesus. Then Peter fails miserably at it, and Jesus loves him anyway. All three of those come together. Friends, you may be looking at a failure. Maybe something has happened. Maybe you have failed. But I'm here to tell you, God is looking at you. He's saying, you have a purpose, and I haven't given up on you. Can you go with me for just a minute? So Peter's out on the boat. He's fishing. What do you think he's thinking about out there? He's trying to go back to before. Could he be replaying in his head things that Jesus said? Maybe he's replaying some of the sermons. Jesus had a whole batch of "you have heard it said" stuff. That comes from Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount, one of his most famous, where "you heard it said." Jesus said, "you heard it said, don't commit murder. I'm telling you, don't even be angry at him." But if you go back and you read that passage, it actually says, "You've heard it said, don't commit murder. I'm telling you, don't even call them names." That's really what the passage says. Don't call them Raca. Don't yell names at people. Now, I'm not going to request that you raise your hand, but is it possible that in the last year, some of us in this room have called somebody in the government a name? Just a guessing, all right? Just postulating, all right? He says, "You've heard it said, don't commit murder." I'm telling you, don't even think thoughts about them. "You've heard it said, don't commit adultery." I'm saying, don't even look that way. "You've heard it said, swear your oaths on your mother's grave or on your dad or on something that matters." He goes, "I'm telling you, make your word matter. Make your promises that you keep. Do you keep your promises? I'll be there and I'll do what I said I was going to do." He said, "You've heard it said, love your friends and hate your enemies. I say, love them, give them your coat, and pray for them." Let's be real honest. It is hard to hold a grudge at somebody that I am praying blessings on. Now a lot of us can pray, "Dear God, strike them down." I don't think that's what he's talking about right there. Okay? "You've heard it said, hate them." I'm telling you, pour into them. While Peter is out on the boat, do you think he's replaying that? What he should have done. "I should have been better. I should have done this." Or, let's go another direction. Do you think Peter is replaying the promises that Jesus made? In John chapter 6, he says, "Whoever comes to me, I will never drive away." Charles Spurgeon said that's his favorite verse in the whole Bible. I want to say it again. John 6, verse 37. "Whoever comes to me, I will never drive away." Maybe he's replaying one in John 15 that was the night before Jesus was crucified. "I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends." Could Peter have been replaying that? "People will fail us." He doesn't. Or maybe he was replaying one in Mark chapter 10 where Jesus said, "No one is left who has left home or family or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive over 100 times over in his lifetime." That Jesus doesn't forget our work. Could it be that Peter was replaying all the promises that God had offered through his son Jesus? You might be sitting there going, "Don, are you ever going to talk about bones in this thing? Are we going to get to a point?" Yes, and here it is. When you're facing your valley of dry, washed up bones, are you repeating the words of Jesus? Or are you declaring the death you've seen? Now, I believe that the words that we say to ourselves are powerful. And the words that get into our ears get into our heart. Are you talking more about your failures or His greatness? His power. Man, I've messed up. You just don't understand, Don. I've messed up so bad and so many times. And I've gone to that bottle so many times. And I just keep going to those sites all those times. And there's no hope for me. Friends, words that have access to your heart will affect your actions. I believe that in my heart, that we need to change the words that we are hearing. Peter had gone back to what he knew, and that was good. He went back to the beginning. But I think he was wallowing in self-pity. I think he was sitting out there fishing, trying to figure out what to do. Friends, you may be right there. And Jesus will meet you right there, just like He met Peter right there. He met him right where he was. If you read the story, go in there in John chapter 21. He's on the shore, and he hollers out. He's like, hey, did y'all catch anything? Because Jesus apparently was a hillbilly from my accent. I don't know. That was odd. Jesus hollers out, hey, did you catch anything? He's like, no. And he says, throw your net on the other side of the boat. Here's some things you need to know about the Sea of Galilee. It's not really a sea. It's a lake. It's a fairly decent size. Like, you can see the other side of it, but it's a pretty big body of water. And they have really wicked winds. They have hills on two sides of it, and the winds come over it. That's where you get these storms that come up. But in that time, and even today, there are still a lot of fishing boats out there. But in that time, the fishing boats were 4 to 6 foot wide and about maybe 10 to 12 foot long. They were 3, 4, maybe 5 passengers. They were rowboats. They threw nets over the side. They drug them back in. They were 4 to 6 foot wide. Now, stick with me. I'm not much of an eco-manager, and I'm not a great fisherman, but it seems to me that if there are no fish right here, there's probably no fish right here. You tracking with me? I told them to throw it on the other side of the boat. You know, I mean, it was that kind of stuff. If there's no fish right there's no fish right here. And Jesus shows them something else. Now, if you read the story, it's John that recognizes who Jesus is. And he says, that's the Lord. And then Peter dives out of the boat. I want to be with that guy. You see, too often we can't hear the hope that God gives. We can't hear the words of Jesus because our world is just too loud. There's just too much junk going on. Friends, you need to hear this and hear this good. Our world is designed to tear you down. Our world is designed to take your joy. Scripture promises it, that it is following its leader. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, the God of this age blinds the eyes of the unbelievers. It's going right where we're all here. Oh, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. Yeah, it is. It always has been. It's always going that way. We listen to that too much, and it upsets us, and it frustrates us, and it divides us. We're listening too much to social media. We're listening too much to the news. We're listening too much to all this negative stuff. I believe Jesus is saying, hush, turn down the world's volume and listen to His words. Listen to the words that He says. Don't listen to the news. Don't listen to the mirror. Don't listen to the scale. Don't listen to the magazines. Listen to what He declares about you. Story told of a man that gets on an elevator and Billy Graham gets on. It was later on Billy Graham's life and Franklin Graham was with him. They got onto the elevator, they got in, and the guy goes, I mean, he's just like, he's pushing the button. He goes, you're famous. He goes, no, I'm not. He goes, no, you're that preacher guy. You're Billy Graham. He said, well, yeah, I'm Billy Graham. You're a great man. And Mr. Graham looks at him. He says, no, son, I'm not. But I have a great message. I hope you caught the beginning of this video that are open for this series. Franklin made, and he used that Billy Graham clip. I'm not here to celebrate Billy Graham. He was a good man with a great message. But I love the imagery that one had. You can't change your past. But you can change your future by deciding for Christ. When you do, Christ wipes out your past. Friends, too many of us are hanging on to our past. We're hanging on to our mistakes, and we're not looking at our purpose. Did you hear that? Or did you dismiss that? Because a lot of people say, oh, Don, that's for the good people. I'm just trying to get by. No, He has a purpose for you. He has a purpose for me every single week. We started this year, everyone matters in 2021. Everyone matters. He has designed us to make disciples. My friend Wes got up here 2 or 3 weeks ago and told his story about a dream that he had, that he passed his dream and God had a bigger dream for him. Go back and listen to that one. It was awesome. He has a purpose for you, every single one of us. You might be sitting there going, Don, that sounds pretty basic. Yes, it is. But somebody in this room or somebody online needs to hear that today. You are not washed up. You're not worthless. Your past is past. He has a purpose for you. In Ezekiel 37, when he's looking at that valley of dry bones, God tells Ezekiel, tell those bones to hear the words of the Lord. That's what they need. They need to hear the words of God. And maybe he's telling you the same thing today. Your bones need to hear. Now, you may be sitting there broken and hurt. We have seen so much hurt in our church family in the last year. So much brokenness, so much division. Are we listening when Jesus says, I'm never going to leave you? They may have, but I won't. You might see, you know, you might be looking out the window and saying, man, this world is messed up. You would be correct. There is a lot of junk out there. It is not going great. And Jesus looked right at his buddies and he said, don't worry, I've already overcome this world. Don't focus on that. Focus on me. Don't look at the evidence of death. Look at the God is bigger than what you see. God told Ezekiel, tell those bones to listen to my word. Then he said, tell those bones they need the Spirit of God. We need to hear His Spirit. We need to feel His Spirit. We need to smell it. We need to sing it. When everything is crashing around us, that's what we need to be declaring. But I want you to get this. Look at what Jesus did with Peter in reinstating him. That's what this sermon's called, reinstated. God, through Jesus, takes him to the side and deals with Peter. Peter that had denied him 3 times. Peter that he counted on. Did Jesus dwell on his mistakes? Now, Peter, you should have known better. Is that the voice you hear of Jesus there? No. He didn't dwell on the past. He pushed Peter to commit to his purpose. You care about me? Then feed my lambs. Because that's what I need. I need you to talk to people about me. I need you to disciple people, he said. He never designed us to build big churches. He designed us to make disciples, to make an impact in lives. It's as if Jesus is sitting there saying, Peter, I don't need your righteousness. You need mine. I've seen your best work. It's not that great. You need me in you. And when we get Him in us, we will have our purpose wherever it is. Whether it's working on a farm or driving a train or working in a business or being a homemaker, God gives us our purpose. Christ wants to erase our mistakes and not live in your past. He wants to give you life. Now, interesting. You remember how we started all of this with all those people that the Bible resurrects, from Lazarus to the Shunammite woman's son, all of that stuff. I looked. Do you realize that all of those people again died eventually? And I couldn't find in any of them any other reference. Maybe Lazarus to an extent, but most of them were never mentioned again. It would be very easy to say, what was the point? What's the point of raising him if they're just going to die anyway? Here's what I think. I think it's to show the glory of God. To show how powerful our God is. The death doesn't scare him. That is not the end. to show the greatness of our God. The resurrected King, past tense, is resurrecting, present tense, me. By your Spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. Some of you in here, this room, all you see are ashes. And he's saying, I want to resurrect you now. Not later. I will later. Don't worry. I'll get you then too. I want you alive now. Because my purpose in you is to go make a difference in Portales. Everyone matters in 2021. In your name, I come alive to declare my victory. No, his victory. In your name, I will declare what you win. Folks, we need to quit worrying about winning and losing and start pointing people to Jesus. When we do that, we will have our purpose. Friends, bones will rattle with the word of the Lord and the Spirit of the Lord. Here's a paradox of every Christian that I know of. If this doesn't apply to you, come talk to me afterwards because I need to know the secrets. But here's what I see. Every Christian I know loves Jesus. And every Christian I know lets him down. Anybody? Yeah, you can amen that. Tom and Candy aren't with us today. I promised Tom I would amen his stuff loud. So amen that. That was good stuff, Don. Yeah, there we go. Every Christian I know loves Jesus. Every Christian I know lets him down. We blow it. Yet he still loves us. He's standing at your ashes wanting to trade him for beauty. He's looking at your brokenness. He said, man, I want to turn your grave into a garden. I want things growing in you. I want to give you my purpose so you don't worry about all these other things out there. If you will focus on knowing me and my dreams for you, I promise you, you will do amazing things. If you'll listen to the words of God and breathe in the Spirit of the Lord, let him bring life to you. Will you pray with me?
Thank you for listening to audio from Central Christian Church in Portales, New Mexico. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission. To connect with us, visit our website at centralwired.org.